is the dawah or the tanbih or the reminder to the brothers in particular
of us assuming responsibility for our actions, that in order for us to move forward,
in order for us to
leave a legacy and to begin to really, really make an impact on this city as far as the spread of the dawah is concerned, it is a must that we raise our level of responsibility.
And we talked about different ways of doing that.
We were talking one day about how if we were to look in the audience, there would be many of us
who are of the age of driving, and yet we don't have
driver's license. They've been revoked. Some of us have tickets. If we get caught driving, we're going to jail.
Some of us have cars that we're driving
with no insurance, and even though the insurance is haram, it's one of those things that we're forced to do, we're compelled to do,
because if you drive without the insurance,
with that type of tawakkul ala Allah, and you get caught, you're going to go to jail, and you're going to have a bigger fitna than not paying the insurance.
So we talked about how
it is imperative upon us to become responsible. How brothers, if they want to get married, they have to develop for themselves a good rental history. Things like that we've been discussing. And we're going to continue to harp upon us raising our level of responsibility as men. Because even though many of us are less than 30 years old, this is no longer an acceptable excuse for us to continue to act as we've been acting. We have to become men who are trying to
take a community forward.
From what we've mentioned, Ikhwan, in the past 10 and 11 days, is how it is ludicrous for the people to think
that I'm going to come here and I'm some savior, the Mahdi
or Isa ibn Maryam, this type of mentality, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. But we want the people to be practical and not be of those people who are interested in the hype,
so that our efforts are like the balloon. You blow it up, and you blow it up, and then you blow it up,
and then when you let your finger go, all of the air escapes, and then there's really nothing because people were just on the hype.
So we tried, and we tried, and we tried
to give some practical teaching and messages for a sober and responsible community.
Because the hype, I'm telling you, is going to go. We have a lot of people here right now, alhamdulillah,
and it's rightly so that all of these people are here. But we want this type of participation to be on a continuous basis. Also, Ikhwan, from what we mentioned, is this desire to have equality amongst
the brothers and sisters as it relates to how we behave towards one another.
That we don't want to treat certain people better than other people.
But all of the Muslims are equal.
The only thing that makes them people who have special treatment is by their taqwa. But only Allah knows the taqwa of individuals.
So therefore, it is our job and our duty to struggle, inshallah ta'ala,
to treat people the same across the board.
Until they prove that they don't deserve to be treated like that. And even in that case,
we want to, again, be people who practice diplomacy. People who look at the affairs, and we don't make bigger fitnas after we found that
a fitna has been created. From what we've been talking about, and this is probably the single most important thing,
and that is how our marital relationships are in shambles. It is a shame. It's a tragedy.
When we look and we consider the condition of our family, it is the iman of al-Islam and the fact that we are Muslims only that makes us a little bit better than these kuffar in the communities that we come from.
Because the kuffar are suffering from the same problems that we suffer from.
But when people come into al-Islam, their behavior is supposed to change.
Their relationship is supposed to change. The way they treat their wives, the way they treat their husbands, the way they treat their children, this is supposed to be something that changes.
Now, since I've been here, I am embarrassed.
And I'm sad at the state of affairs of how we as men treat our women and how our women treat the brothers.
And who gets caught in the crossfire?
What gets caught in the crossfire, first and foremost, is the dawah. And then after that, our children. Alaykum salam. So those are some of the affairs that we have been mentioning, and those are
some of the things that we are trying to get you brothers and sisters to understand
that we have to change. In mentioning all of those things, I want to come to the last point so that the Sheikh can begin his talk, inshallah ta'ala, and that is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma used to say, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yuhibbu samar ba'd al-isha. The Prophet did not like alayhi salatu wasalam for people to stay up after salat al-isha to discuss and to chit-chat and to conversate. This was not from his sunnah. He used to teach and encourage the people to go right to bed so that the people can get up for salat al-tahajjud, so that the people can get up and wake up, and they can be people who have some nashat for salat al-fajr. But there is another hadith that I want to share with you as it relates to the Shaykh being here. And that is that the Prophet woke up one night, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اقْتَرَبْ. Woe unto the Arabs from the evil that has come close to them. And he was talking about some of the issues of the Ashrat al-Sa'a. And he started talking about the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj, the Gog and the Magog. So he encouraged the women of his family to wake up. He woke up, and he encouraged his women to wake up to pray Salatul Tahajjud. Al-Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala and other scholars like this, they said, from what we understand from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the istihbab and the permissibility and the like of staying up after Isha in order to get knowledge. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his family, get up, and he told them about the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. So he taught them some knowledge after Salat al-Isha. So from the diqqa or the tremendous knowledge of Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, from what we understand from this is the permissibility of searching and seeking for knowledge after Salat al-Isha. So now the Shaykh has come after Salat al-Isha because he was tired today, and he said that he would be with us from Isha until whenever we wanted to be with him. So he's rested, and we want to bring him forth. So in saying that, Ikhwan, I want to make it known, out of all of the things that we mentioned about what we want our community to do, take care of your families, be responsible, treat people equally, the single most important thing that we want to make as a statement is, in our direction here in this message and going forward, we want to establish a connection between us and the people of knowledge. Wherever those people of knowledge may be. So I'm proud and I'm happy, and I use proud loosely for lack of a better term. I'm happy and honored that in a 10-day, 11-day period of this administration, we have for the first time in this area the Sheikh Abu Hatim Usama Al-Qusi, may Allah Ta'ala preserve him, to come to our masjid to expound upon some of the things that's in his heart. We didn't talk to him about what to talk about, so what he's going to talk about is up to him. So we want the people to understand that in our direction, we want our direction to be with the help of the people of knowledge. So we thank the Sheikh for answering our invitation, and without anything else, we're going to allow him now to give his presentation, inshallah. And then after that, we're going to take some questions and answers. Shaykh bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to talk about the easiness of al-Islam and the fact that al-Islam is a religion that is easy to practice and the evil of making things difficult upon yourself in the religion.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فموضوع حديثنا إن شاء الله تعالى الإسلام دين اليسر. وقبل الشروع في الموضوع أبلغكم اعتذار أخي الشيخ علي الحلبي حفظه الله تعالى، فإنه يعتذر إليكم ويتأسف جدا لعدم تمكنه من الحضور، وكان يتمنى أن يكون معي في هذه الزيارة، فقد أوصاني أن أبلغكم عذره واعتذاره. أما موضوعنا فإن الإسلام دين سمح سهل بسيط، بل إن اليسر من علامات الحق، والعسر من علامات الباطل. فالحق سهل والباطل صعب. الحق يسر والباطل عسر. وهذا على جميع المستويات، عقيدة وعبادة وأخلاقا، على كل مستويات الإسلام. ونبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول: إن الدين يسر، إن الدين يسر، لن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه، فسددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا واستعينوا بالغدوة والروحة وشيء من الدلجة. رواه البخاري. إن الدين يسر، هذا عندنا في لغة العرب يقولون إن حرف توكيد، يعني يفيد التأكيد. إن الدين يسر، الدين يسر، إخبار عن دين الله بأنه يسر، وهذا يشمل الدين كله، كل الدين يسر، لا يخرج شيء عن ذلك أبدا. إن الدين يسر، إذن التوحيد يسر، الصلاة يسر، الزكاة يسر، الصيام يسر. وقد يسأل بعض الناس يقول: يعني أنا ما أفهم، لا أفهم، كل شيء يسر. ونحن نعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: حفت الجنة أو حجبت الجنة بالمكاره، وحفت النار أو حجبت النار بالشهوات. فكيف نفهم هذا الحديث على ضوء ما ذكرته؟
The Sheikh began, Ikhwan, by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salutations upon the Prophet and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and bear witness to the kalimat al-tawheed. And then he said, before we begin our discussion today on the topic, I would like to first relay to you the statement of the Sheikh Ali Halabi, Ali Hassan al-Halabi, may Allah ta'ala preserve him. He said that the Sheikh Ali Hassan, he asked Sheikh Abu Hatim to seek from you his forgiveness and to excuse him for not being present today, because he really, really hoped and he desired to be here with him to give the talk
but he was unable to.
So he wants to get off of him this trust, and he wants to tell you, please excuse him, and he asked him to do that for him. He said after that, he wants to talk about the easiness of this religion.
And he said that the religion of
Al-Islam is a religion of forgiving, and a religion of easiness, and a religion of overlooking. He said that easiness is one of the signs of
the truth.
And the opposite of that is difficulty is one of the signs of falsehood. The truth or the haq is easy.
Easy to comprehend
and easy to hold on to. Whereas that which is batil or that which is falsehood, you will find in it difficulty and you will find that it is not easy. So the truth is easy and falsehood is difficult. This is in everything in our religion. You will find this principle holding true in Aqidah. You will find this principle holding true in the worship in this religion, as well as in the akhlaq or the character, the behavior in this religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, verily this religion is easy, and no one makes things difficult on himself in this religion except that the religion will overpower him. So therefore, take it easy and do the best that you can and give good tidings or glad tidings, and help yourselves by taking it easy at night when you're traveling. The Shaykh went on to say, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made all of the religion easy.
And he used,
in the language of this hadith, inna deen, verily the religion. So this statement inna, he went on to say, linguistically, it is from the utensils or from the things that you use in the
language
in order to emphasize something. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith emphasized the easiness of the religion by using this statement, inna deen yusr, verily the religion is easy. He went on to say that nothing in our religion escapes or goes outside of that circle. The tawheed of al-Islam is easy, the salat that we make is easy, and the zakat as well as the siyam, all of this is easy. He went on to say, Ikhwan, some of us may ask the question, how do I understand, based upon what you just said, that everything is easy? When I hear and I know of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in which he said, verily the paradise or the Jannah, it has been surrounded by those things that are dislike or the makarih. Those things that are disliked and difficult, they have been surrounded, they surround the paradise. Meaning if you want to get to paradise, you have to go through these difficult things. And he said the hellfire has been surrounded by the shahawat or the desires. He said, how do we understand this hadith based upon my original statement of the religion being easy?
الدين علم وعمل، علم وعمل، وكل من العلم والعمل يحتاج إلى صبر، ويحتاج إلى احتساب. يظهر الأمر لمن ينظر أنه صعب، وليس كذلك. الحديث الذي سمعناه آنفا لا يقول إن الطاعات صعبة وإن المعاصي سهلة، لا يقول هذا، إنما يقول حجبت الجنة بالمكاره، حجبت النار بالشهوات. يعني بينكم وبين الجنة ستار، وبينكم وبين النار ستار، فأنتم لا ترون الجنة ولا ترون النار، لكنكم تتخيلون أن طريق الجنة صعب بسبب هذا الستار، وتتخيلون أن طريق النار سهل بسبب هذا الستار، وبالتالي
بمجرد أن يخترق الإنسان هذا الحاجب يجد الأمر بخلاف ذلك، يجد الأمر بخلاف ذلك. مثال عمل لما قلت، مثال عمل كلنا نشعر به، عندما يقوم أحدنا يسمع، يقوم لصلاة الفجر، يريد أن يصلي الفجر، فعندما أنت تسمع الأذان أو تضبط الساعة المنبهة حتى توقظك للفجر، تقوم وتشعر بثقل عظيم على رأسك، تشعر أن رأسك ثقيلة جدا، كأنك لا تستطيع أن تقوم منها، كأنك مربوط في السرير، كأنك مقيد. لكن إذا أنت تغلبت على نفسك وقمت من النوم وذكرت الله عز وجل، تشعر بخفة، كأن شيئا قد فك عنك. ثم إذا أنت ذهبت وتوضأت تشعر أنك كذلك أخف وأخف. فإذا أنت صليت ركعتين تشعر أنك نشيط، ذهب كل شيء، مجرد خيالات كانت موجودة. إذا أنت بدأت تمشي إلى المسجد تشعر بسعادة ما بعدها سعادة، وتشعر بلذة ما بعدها لذة. فإذا أنت صليت الفجر مع المسلمين ورجعت إلى بيتك، يعني تكاد تطير من الفرح. الطاعة ليست صعبة. هل أنت وجدت أن الوضوء والصلاة والمشي إلى المسجد صعب؟ لا، هذا مجرد حاجب فقط، كتاب. ولهذا فإن نبينا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم فسر لنا هذا تفسيرا جميلا يتعلق بعالم الغيب، فقال: إن الشيطان يعقد على قافية رأس أحدكم إذا هو نام ثلاث عقد، ثلاث عقد، ثلاث، ثلاث عقد. ثم قال: فإذا هو قام فذكر الله إن حلت عقده، فإذا توضأ إن حلت الثانية، فإذا صلى ركعتين إن حلت عقده كلها، فأصبح طيبا نشيط النفس، وإلا أصبح خبيث النفس كسلان. ما أجمل هذا الحديث وما أروع هذه الكلمة، وهي تبين لنا بحق ما معنى حجبت الجنة بالمكاره وحجبت النار بالشهوات. فالشيطان يحاول أن يجعل الصلاة عليك صعبة، لكن هي ليست صعبة، الصلاة سهلة، الصلاة تريح النفس، الصلاة تطمئن القلوب، الصلاة تطيب النفس، تنعشها، تنشطها. ما يمكن أن يقول أحد مني إن الصلاة صعبة أبدا، لكن هذا مجرد حادث حجبك الجنة بالمكاره وحجبت النار بالشهوات. إذن الشيطان يريد أن يقول لك إيش؟ عندما تسمع الأذان أو المنبه النوم جميل، النوم حلو، الفراش دافئ، هكذا أنت ستقوم الآن في البرد، تتوضأ وتنزل إلى المسجد برد، اجلس ونام، نام أحسن، غطى. ومع هذه الوساوس هو عقد عقد، ما اكتفى بمجرد الوصفات، عقد عقد. لكن ما أنزل الله داء إلا وجعل له الدواء. فالذكر يحل العقدة الأولى، أول عقدة تنحل بالذكر، والثانية تنحل بالوضوء، والثالثة تنحل بالصلاة. من منا إذا فعل هذا يقول إن الصلاة صعبة؟ أبدا. أحد يقول اليوم الذي لا نصلي فيه الفجر في المسجد تبقى متضايقة طوال اليوم، تبقى متضايقا حزينا أنك فاتك هذا الخير. فهذا مثال عملي يبين لك معنى حفة الجنة بالمكابر.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that the religion of Al-Islam is knowledge and action. And both of these issues, knowledge and action, both of them are in need of sabr. And both of them are in need of people who are going to expect their reward. They may not get their reward right away, but the knowledge and the action, it requires from you to be patient and to be a person who expects to receive something. And this becomes clear to us and to the person who sees the ibadat or the worship of Al-Islam as being difficult based upon this hadith that we're about to explain. So there's the person who sees that worshiping Allah and obeying Allah is difficult, but this is not the case. The hadith said that the paradise has a hijab around it with the things that are disliked. So pay attention linguistically. That the hadith said, Hujibat al-Jannah. That the paradise has a hijab. And also it said that the hellfire has a hijab. So the Shaykh went on to explain the meaning, so that you'll understand is, between you and the paradise is a hijab, and between you and the hellfire is a hijab. In both cases, clearly it's a hijab that you can't see. So what happens is, the person, he imagines that the things that will get you or get into Jannah is difficult, and going to the hellfire is easy. He said, but this is not the case. This is not the case. He said, I'm going to give you an example to explain to you how we understand this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we experience on a daily basis. He said, if a man, one of us, stands up and he wants to make the Salatul Fajr, he hears the Adhan, or he hears the alarm clock, when it's time to get up, in this state, he feels heavy and it's difficult to get up. There's something saying to him, don't get up, and it's difficult to get up, as if something is holding you down. Something is on your head. You may even feel like something is tying you that you don't even know what it is. It's tying you to the bed. He said, but if the person overcame that feeling and he overcame his being sleepy and he got up from his bed and he remembered Allah by making the dhikr of Allah, then what happens is that feeling that he was experiencing, it becomes a bit lighter and easier to handle, as if he was freed a little bit. He went on to say, and then if the person, after still feeling this, but it's lighter than it originally was when he first woke up, if he goes to make the wudu, he becomes even more lighter and more lighter to continue. He went on to say, if the person finally prays 2 rak'at, he becomes normal and he's filled with activity, or he is nasheed. He said that you have to understand, when the hadith said that the Jannah and the hellfire, this is surrounded with the difficult things, and the paradise or the hellfire is surrounded with difficult things, that the paradise is surrounded with difficult things and the hellfire is surrounded with your desires, this is only an imaginary issue when you look at it as being difficult. He said if the person goes to the masjid, while he's going to the masjid, he feels a happiness that can't be described. When he finally gets to the masjid and he prays with the Muslims, and after praying with the Muslims, he returns home or he goes to his place of work, he feels as if he has the ability to fly, and that initial feeling is something that he's not even bothering him concerning. The Sheikh went on to ask us the rhetorical question, does anyone who knows what I'm talking about feel that this is difficult, or that worshiping Allah and making salat to Allah is difficult? He said, of course not. So the meaning of that hadith is, between you and the paradise is a sitar, or a curtain, a hijab. And for that reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in yet another hadith, he gave us the clear understanding and the meaning of this hadith that he's talking about and that he's explaining, that the paradise has been surrounded, or there is a hijab, with that which is difficult, and the hellfire is surrounded with the desires. The Prophet told us something, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the knowledge of the unseen. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily, a shaitan ties on the back of the neck of one of you 3 knots. He ties on the back of the head by the neck of one of you 3 knots. So that when he wakes up, if he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he makes the dhikr of Allah, one of those knots, they become untied. If he goes and he makes wudu after that, the second knot, it gets untied. And then if he finally prays 2 raka'at, all of the knots are untied. So if the man makes all of this, he will wake up and his nafs will be tayyib, his nafs will be good, pure, wholesome. And he will have activity, and he will be a person who has some, he has some energy. And if the person misses the Salatul Fajr, what happens is his nafs becomes the opposite of that. He feels lethargic and he feels extremely lazy. The Shaykh went on to say, look how beautiful this hadith is in its illustration and in its explanation. So it explains to us the meaning of, what does it mean that the hellfire or the Jannah, the paradise, has been surrounded by those things that are difficult. All it means is a shaitan, he whispers to one of us and he makes it appear that the things that you have to do are difficult. But in fact, when you get to the other side and you do it, you're going to find that it's just a matter of imagining that comes from a shaitan. So the prayer itself, ikhwan, it makes your nafs, your soul, relaxed and tranquil and easy. It gives you energy. It energizes your soul. So no one can possibly say that the prayer is something that is difficult. So we don't understand the hadith like that. But what happens is a shaitan, he says to one of us, when we have to wake up for the prayer, he says to you, look, take it easy. Sleep is beautiful that you're doing. And this sleep is sweetness. And your bed is warm. How are you going to get up and go out in the cold? But instead, take the blanket and roll yourself up in the blanket a little more to warm yourself up a little more. The Shaykh said, you see, this is the knot that a shaitan is tying on your head. Allah Ta'ala has not sent down any sickness except that He has sent down the medication for that sickness. So the medication for this sickness that comes from shaitan, which is his whispers, is that you remember Allah first. And then you force yourself to get up and you make the wudu. And then you go and you make the prayer. While you're doing all of these things, it becomes easy and easy and easier for you. So we understand from this, ikhwan, that the salat or any of the worship of Allah, it is not difficult. And the person who has some faith in Allah, true faith, he is the person that when the salat misses him, he continues the rest of the day. When he listens to the shaitan, he will continue the rest of the day in a state of uneasiness, in a state of being sad. So this is the understanding of this particular hadith.
وعلى عكس ذلك حجبت النار بالشهوات. فمثلا الشخص الذي يتعاطى المخدرات أو يشرب الخمر،
الله أكبر،
أعاذنا الله من ذلك،
آمين،
الشيطان يزين ذلك له، أو يقع في الزنا، أعوذ بالله، كل هذه الأمور الشيطان يحليها يزينها. حجبت النار بالشهوات، الشيطان يخيل إليك أن هذا طريق مفروش بالورود ويزينه ويحليه. وزين لهم الشيطان أعمال، زينه. إذن
خلف هذا الستار النار والعياذ بالله. إذا اخترق الإنسان هذا الستار، ستار مزين عليه زينة وأضواء، وقد يضع لك عطف أيضا، كل شيء يخيل لك أنه جميل، وبمجرد أن تدخل في هذا السبيل تجد كل شيء مر. إذا أنت وقعت في شراك المخدرات تصير في حالة حتى ولا في حالة الطفل الصغير، تتقيا وتهدو، تتكلم بكلام لا يتكلم به الأطفال الصغار، وتجلس الناس يضحكون عليك وأنت تهدو. هذا طريق سهل، طريق مر، طريق شائك. كذلك يخيل إليك هذه الفتاة التي أنت تصاحبها أنها إذا أنت يعني مشيت معها ستجد السعادة، وبمجرد أن تقضي لذتها أو تأخذ حاجتك منها يتركك الشيطان وحدك، فتجرع مرارة المعصية وانتهت اللذة وقتية، انتهى الأمر. فالشيطان بعد أن يخدع الإنسان يتخلى عنه، يتركه وحده، يغره ويمنيه ويعده. وربنا يقول وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا، يحلي لك الأمر ثم يتركك. يدعو المشركين إلى قتال المسلمين، فإذا قاتلوهم تخلى عنهم. الأول يقول إني معكم، ثم بعد ذلك يقول إني بريء منكم، إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. فالشيطان ليس وليا، الشيطان عدو، يحلي لك المعاصي ويزينها ويزخرفها. عندما غر الشيطان والدينا آدم وحواء لم يقل لهم هل أدلكم على الشجرة المحرمة، إنما قال هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى. فلما ذاق هذه الشجرة ماذا حصل لهما؟ سقطت الثياب وانكشفت العورات، وصار يخصفان على نفسيهما من ورق الجنة. تركهما الشيطان بعد أن قال إني يعني أنصح لكما وإني كذا، وتخلى عنهما بعد أن وقع في المحظور المحرم. إذن لا تتخيل يا أخي الإسلام أبدا أن طريق الشرك والمعاصي ميسر، لا أبدا. الربا كذلك، يقول لك اشتري بيتا بالربا، تقوم أنت تصدقه تشتري بيتا بالربا، بعد ذلك تبدأ تسدد وتعمل طوال النهار من أجل أن تسدد، تبقى في شقاء وتعاسة وتعب وكد، كل هذا من أجل سداد الربا. ثم في النهاية تكثر عليك الأقساط وتتراكم، فتلجأ إلى المخدرات لتنسى ما عليك، لا تستطيع أن تسدد، في النهاية يطردونك من البلد ويعطونك أوراق تأكل بها خبز فقط وتصير بلا مأوى. أي الطريقين هو الأسهل وهو الأبسط، طريق الجنة أم طريق النار؟ لا يحتاج إلى جواب، طريق الجنة سهل، فقط اخترق الستار، اخترق هذا الحجاب وانظر ستجد الجنة. كذلك طريق النار، لو اخترقت هذا الحجاب ستجد النار، ففقط المسألة تحتاج إلى تخطي هذا الحجاب. إذا تخطيت هذا الحجاب رأيت الأمور على حقيقتها. ولذلك نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الشهيد، وهذا أعظم أنواع البلاء الجهاد، نحن نرى هذا الشهيد ممزق وفيه طعنات وفيه دم، إن الشهيد لا يجد من ألم القتل كما يجد أحدكم من لدغة البعوضة، لا يشعر بألم القتل إلا كما يشعر أحدنا بلدغة البعوضة. سبحان الله، هذا أعظم البلاء، لدغة البعوضة. لكن طبعا حتى يتغلب الإنسان على نفسه ويدخل في الميدان ويقاتل، هذه هي لحظة الابتلاء، وهذه هي لحظة الامتحان.
تأمرني هذا الأمين أن يبدل هذا الميكروفون بذلك، لأن هذا أقوى. الله
معلش. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى وأحسن الله إليه said, as I was explaining about the prayer, the opposite holds true as it relates to the hellfire having a cover or a hijab between you and it. For an example, the hellfire, we find the situation of drugs or narcotics, and he went on to make a dua, may Allah protect me from those narcotics and you as well. He said the example of narcotics, or the example of a zina or illegal, illicit relationships like people are having, he said all of that is from the shaitan. He said what shaitan makes one of us feel and think concerning these issues, the disobedience of Allah, is that he makes us imagine that the way to accomplishing these things is easy. Look what Allah said in the Quran, and shaitan beautifies for them their actions. He went on to say, when you start to approach these types of things, you have to know that behind the hijab of the hellfire, there are going to be some problems. He said, before you get behind the hijab, what shaitan makes you do is, before you get behind the hijab, he beautifies the hijab and everything leading up to the hijab. He puts lights and candles, and sometimes he goes as far as to put nice smells and perfumes before and on the hijab. But as soon as you enter into the hijab, you're going to find it the opposite of what he made it appear to you on the other side. He said, look at the person who uses narcotics. He becomes worse than the child in his behavior. He starts to vomit in front of the people and he can't help it, like the child. He starts to talk the kalam or the speech that is worse than the speech of the child. No one can understand it. The people around him are looking at him, laughing at him because of his behavior, and he can't do anything about it. Because he got to the sitar or the hijab and he went through it, and this was the end result. So shaitan beautified it for him, but when he got there, he saw the reality of it. Similar, look at the zina. The man, he sees a woman that he is impressed with her, and he is allured by her beauty. He's attracted to it. Shaitan makes it like that. So he goes after her and he continues to approach the hijab. When he does what he does with her by making zina, shaitan after that leaves him alone in that condition all by himself, because once he gets you behind the hijab, he always leaves you. He leaves you to be in that state. And then your affair and your case is finished. The sheikh went on to say, this is what shaitan always does. He'll lead you to the hijab, and then once you get there, he's going to leave you by yourself. And that's why Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and shaitan does not promise them anything except what is imaginary. Everything that he promises to you is imaginary, it's not real, or it is ghurur. Look what happened. The Iblis or shaitan, he encouraged and he invited the mushrikeen to go to fight the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he made it beautiful to them that they were going to win and that they were going to conquer them. So he invited them to this hijab. When the kuffar, when the mushrikun, when they finally went and they engaged the Prophet and his companions sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum, shaitan said to them, I'm free of you. I'm free of you, and I fear Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. So again, this is from the way of a shaitan. He'll take you to the hijab, and once you enter the hijab, you're going to have the problems with what's behind the hijab, and you're not going to have him with you. Shaitan is not a wali, but a shaitan is a adu. He's not a friend, but instead, he is an enemy. Ikhwan, look at what shaitan did when he tricked and he fooled our mother and father.
Adam and his wife Eve, alayhi salatu was salam. Shaitan didn't say in the Quran, and the Shaykh read the Quran and he switched some words. He said, Shaitan didn't say to them, should I not lead you to, should I give you eternal life? So when they listened to that, and it was beautified for them, and they ate from the tree, they went through the hijab, they saw that they didn't have any thiyab, they didn't have any thobes on. And they realized that they were naked. So now they start to put on the leaves of the paradise. And what happened? Shaitan left them in that state so that Allah can deal with them alone. The Shaykh said, my brother in al-Islam, do not let a shaitan fool you and make you think that the way of al-ma'asi is easy. The way of disobeying Allah is easy. He said, arriba, let's take that as an example. One of us opens up the door and we approach the hijab of a riba. We want to buy a house based upon riba and we want to pay those monthly payments or the mortgage. He said the man works all day long and all night in order to keep up with the payments. And then at the end, he has all of those problems as a result of what he's trying to do. When he can't take care of his bills and his payments, he goes to using drugs. He goes to use drugs in order to forget, in order to numb himself from the problem that he's experienced. And then his affair takes him to where he's at the point where all he can eat is bread or simple meals like that. He said, I ask you, which of the two ways do you consider to be easy and difficult? The hijab of the Jannah, like the example he gave of the Salah. When you wake up and you make the dhikr of Allah, and then after that you make the wudu, and then you make the salat, and all of the things come off you. Is that difficult, or getting behind the hijab of what shaitan has prepared, or what shaitan tricks us to do concerning the hellfire? He said the answer to that is easy. No one has to waste a lot of time. So I say to you, ikhwan, if you get to either of these two hijabs, when you get through it and past it, that's when you're going to find the reality of the hijab and what's behind the hijab. He said, I want to give you another example so that I can further illustrate and clarify for you this point. He said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, verily the shaheed, the one who was killed, fi sabilillah. And then he stopped to explain and to elaborate on the shaheed. He said that this shaheed, or to get killed, to lose your life, is the greatest trial. Look what happens to the man who is a shaheed in the war. He gets stabbed, he gets cut up, he gets chopped up, he loses all of his blood, he bleeds to death. Look at this fitna. The Prophet said about him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily the shaheed, when he gets killed, he will not find the pain of the killing except like when one of you gets stung by a mosquito. That's all he feels. Look at the hijab when he gets to that hijab. All he feels when he gets to that hijab is like he has been stung or pricked by a mosquito. The Shaykh went on to say, when we look at this issue, it will appear that the shaheed has a serious fitna of losing his life and getting chopped up and getting stabbed and getting cut and bleeding to death. But the reality of it is, get past the hijab and you'll see the reality of the situation.
طريق الجنة يحتاج إلى صبر. يحتاج إلى الصبر فقط. صبر. ولذلك من صفات المؤمنين وتواصوا بالصبر. العلم والعمل كلاهما يحتاج إلى صبر. كما قال تعالى والعصر. الزمن يمر والعمر ينقضي. إن الإنسان لفي خسر. كل الناس في خسارة. يقتربون من النار. يقتربون من الهلاك. إلا من تحقق فيهم أربع صفات. إلا الذين آمنوا. عرفوا الحق بقلوبهم وأيقنوه. أيقنوا بالحق. وعملوا الصالحات. تحول علمهم إلى عمل. وتواصوا بالحق، وصى بعضهم بعضا بالحق، دعوا إلى الله، وتواصوا بالصبر، صبروا على معرفة الحق، وصبروا على العمل الصالح، وصبروا على الدعوة إلى ذلك. صبروا على العلم، وصبروا على العمل، وصبروا على الدعوة. ولذلك قال تعالى: وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. فقال بعض أهل العلم: لا تنال الإمامة في الدين إلا بالصبر واليقين. من أراد أن يكون إماما في الدين فعليه بالصبر، والعلم يحتاج إلى صبر، لكنه في النهاية ميسر. يقول الحسن البصري رحمه الله: إنا لنجد لذة في قلوبنا لو عرفها الملوك لجالدونا عليها بالسيوف، نتيجة لطلب العلم. مع أن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما يقول: من أراد أن يطلب العلم فليلبس نعلين من حديد. ويقول يحيى ابن أبي كثير رحمه الله: لا ينال العلم براحة الجسم، لكن بمجرد أن تطلب العلم يعوضك الله لذة، يرزقك الله الطمأنينة. وهكذا في العمل كما مثلنا، وهكذا في الدعوة، والدعوة من أنواع الجهاد كما مثلنا. كل هذا يحتاج إلى صبر ويقين. إذا تحقق عندك هذا الصبر وذلك اليقين، جعل الله عز وجل الأمور ميسرة عليك. ومن يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا. لكن لابد أن تخترق الحجاب كما قلنا.
The Sheikh Ikhwan went on to say, so therefore, brothers, after this explanation, we all need to understand that the way to paradise, a person is in dire need of patience. He has to have sabr. And that's why patience is from the characteristic of those who believe, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and those people who encourage each other upon the truth and to be patient. So therefore, when we said in the beginning, knowledge and actions or works, both of them are in need of you being patient. As Allah said in the Quran, when He said, "Wal Asr," and He swore by the Asr or the time is going and our lives are also passing and getting shorter, we're getting closer to our death. Allah Ta'ala said in this Quran, in this surah, four characteristics that are important and they are related and connected to what I'm saying. Allah said, "Wal Asr," all of the human beings are in a state of loss, every single one of them. And then He went on to make some exceptions. The first exception in these four characteristics is those people who believe, those people who knew the truth with their hearts. They knew the truth and they believed in the haq with their heart. And then as a result of knowing that truth with their heart, it leads them to the second characteristic, which is to do the action. Knowledge and then the action. What's the action? The righteous deed, as the ayah said. Except those people who believe and they do the salihat, or the righteous deed. So that's the second characteristic. And then the third characteristic is that they encourage one another upon that haq that they are upon, that they came to know, that they are working upon. And then the fourth one is that they encourage each other and advise each other to be patient. Patient with that haq. Patient with the knowledge that is connected in acquiring and knowing that haq. Patience in doing the righteous deeds. Patience in giving the da'wah or calling the people and making the people aware of that haq. All of those are the four characteristics that the people have to hold on to. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran in this tremendous ayah, and we have made them imams that people are guided by. We made them imams when they were patient and when they had the yaqeen, or they had the certainty The Sheikh went on to say, so based upon this ayat, Allah making those people imams who people are guided as a result of them, no one can become an imam without having sabr and without having yaqeen or certainty. And that's why we look at this scholar of al-Islam, al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, and he said what? He said, if the king that we are dealing with, these leaders that we have, who are living in opulence, if they only knew the lizza, or the good taste and the good feeling that we know as a result of this Islam and this knowledge, those kings, those leaders, they would have came and done the same thing, even at the expense of using their swords to get it. They don't know. So, when does this happen? It happens when a person makes himself one who goes after knowledge. He makes himself one who is interested in knowledge. And look at what Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhuma. He said, whoever wants to get knowledge, then let him wear two shoes made out of iron. He said another scholar, Yahya ibn Kathir. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said what? Whoever wants to get knowledge, he will never be able to attain true knowledge and his body or he is relaxed and comfortable. You're not going to get knowledge if you are a person who is relaxed and you are comfortable. It's going to require some effort. So if you become of the people who want to obtain the knowledge and seek the knowledge, then Allah Ta'ala is going to give you the lizza, or this good feeling, this good taste in your life. And this is why we say that the dawah and the knowledge, it all is in need of patience. All of it is in need of patience and certainty or yaqeen. And I tell you, if this thing is found in you, إِذَا تَحَقَّقَ هَذَا عِنْدَكَ يَا مُحَمَّدَ تَحَقَّقَ. How we say that? إِذَا تَحَقَّقَ. If this thing, you find it in you, if it happens, you are patient and you have the yaqeen, the Shaykh said Allah Ta'ala is going to make everything easy for you, as he said in the Quran. And whoever fears Allah, whoever has taqwa, Allah will make his affair easy for him. Sheikh said, now all you have to do is pass through the hijab, and then you'll find the reality of what I'm saying.
وكذلك يقول الله عز وجل فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى. نعم. طريق الجنة يسهله الله، وطريق النار يوقع الإنسان في الخسارة ويوقع الإنسان في العواقب الوخيمة ويعرضه للمتاعب والمصاعب. فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى. صدق بالحسنى، والحسنى هي الجنة، للذين أحسنوا الحسنى وزيادة. الحسنى هي الجنة، والزيادة هي لذة النظر إلى وجه الله الكريم سبحانه وتعالى. فهؤلاء يوقنون بالحسنى، يصدقون بالحسنى. نعم، يرى أمامه حجابا فيه أشواك وفيه مكاره، لكنه يوقن أن وراءه جنة، مصدق بأن وراءه جنة. فأما من أعطى، ما بقي في الفراش ولا بقي في البيت، لا، بذل وتحرك وسعى. فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى. وأما من بخل، منع الطاعة، منع المعونة، منع الخير، واستغنى، ظن أنه يمكن أن يستغني عن الله عز وجل، وكذب بالحسنى، لم يصدق بوعد الله عز وجل، فسنيسره للعسرى. وهذا نوع من أنواع
التوبيخ والتأنيب، كما قال تعالى فبشره، كلمة بشره في لغة العرب تعني شيء طيب، يعني هناك شيء طيب تذكر، فبشره بعذاب أليم، فسنيسره للعسرة. هذا استدراج وتوبيخ وتأنيب، وفيه بيان شدة جرم هذا الذي يعني يبشر بعذاب أليم أو ييسره الله للعسرة.
So now, Ikhwan, the Shaykh, Sallamuhullah min kulli suwi, went on to say, look at what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran. As for the one who gives, and he has a taqwa, and he believes in the husna, we're going to make it easy for him. And as for the one who is cheap, he doesn't give, and he istaghna, or he acts as if he is self-sufficient, and he disbelieves in the husna, you want to make his way difficult. So this ayat, look at it, it shows us that the way to paradise, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for the person. The way to get to Jannah is easy for the person. And the opposite, the way to the hellfire, Allah Ta'ala will make it difficult. He will make things in the person's way in terms of problems. He will give him the things that are problematic. He wanted to explain the meaning of al-husna in this ayat that he used. And whoever gives, and he has taqwa, and he believes in al-husna, we're going to make his way easy for him. And whoever is cheap, and he doesn't give, and he sees himself as being self-sufficient, and he disbelieves in al-husna. The Shaykh went on to say, this meaning al-husna is explained in another ayat, when Allah Ta'ala said, and those people who do the good, ahsanu, those people who do the good, they will get the husna and they will get the ziyada. He went on to say that the ziyada, that the husna is, they will get the paradise. And the ziyada means, the addition is, that they will get an opportunity to look at Allah. So just let me explain that again. In the ayat that he used back there, is showing, if you do the right thing, Allah will make it easy for you, and if you do the wrong thing, Allah will make it difficult for you. He said in that ayat, the ayat says, whoever gives and he has a taqwa and he believes in the husna, we will make it easy for him. And whoever doesn't give and the person sees himself as being self-sufficient and he disbelieves in the husna, we'll make it difficult for him. So the Shaykh wanted to explain, what is this husna that the person who does good will give? And what is this husna that the person who disbelieves won't get? He said, Al-husna in the Quran here, it means the paradise, based on that other ayat. And those people who do good, they will get the husna and the ziyada. The husna means they will get the paradise, and the ziyada means they will be able to look at Allah Ta'ala's face, Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the person sees in front of him, Ikhwan, who wants to do the right thing, he sees in front of him the hijab, and what is connected around that hijab. But he has yaqeen. He believes behind that hijab is paradise. So therefore, when it's time for the prayer, as an example, he does not remain on his bed. And he forces himself not to stay in the house. He makes himself get out and go. That's the meaning of, and whoever gives, and he has a taqwa. He gives and he has a taqwa, and he believes in the husna. Behind the hijab, there is the paradise. Whereas the other person, whoever he prevents from giving, he's stingy and he doesn't want to give. And he sees himself self-sufficient. He doesn't see himself in need of Allah. So he doesn't go out. And he disbelieves in al-husna. He doesn't believe in the Jannah, and behind that hijab is a reward. That's the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things difficult for him. And then he went on to explain something linguistically that's taking place. This is why Allah said in another ayah, so give them the tabshir. Give them the tabshir. Then he stopped and he said, in the Arabic language, any time you're going to give somebody the tabshir, when you say bashiru, like you said, the people expect to hear something good. If you say bashiru, you're getting ready to tell them, give them good tidings of what? That's what you're naturally going to wait for in the language, to hear something good. He said, but nothing good. Allah said, give them the tidings of
a grievous punishment. So what is this? This is a way of Allah Ta'ala showing us the severity and the seriousness of being of those people. Those people things are made difficult for. And it is a way in which Allah Ta'ala makes the istidraj, or Allah Ta'ala leads you on to ultimately destroy yourself. And this way linguistically is showing us the seriousness of this crime, the severity of this crime, of being of the people who don't give, and he sees himself as being self-sufficient, and he disbelieves in the husna.
ويقول رب العزة يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر فيقول تعالى ما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج ويقول سبحانه ولو شاء الله لأعنتكم فرب العزة ألطف بنا منا وأرحم بنا منا رؤوف رحيم وما حاجة الله عز وجل إلى أن يعسر على عباده إذا هم أقبلوا عليه الله لطيف بعباده فدين الله عز وجل كله يسر من ألفه إلى يائه من أوله إلى آخره وإنما يأتي العسر منا نحن الذين نعسر على أنفسنا ولهذا جاءت العبارة الثانية في الحديث ولن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه فالذي يشدد يشدد على نفسه والذي يعسر يعسر على نفسه هو الذي يصيب نفسه بالعسر ولذلك يقول نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم هلك المتنطعون
الشيخ بارك الله فيه يسا
Allah Ta'ala has told us in these ayat of the Quran to prove the point. Verily, Allah wants to make things easy for you in your religion, and He doesn't want to make things difficult for you. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, and we have not made on you in your religion any difficulty. And Allah Ta'ala said in another ayat, and if Allah willed, He could have made things difficult for you. So Allah Ta'ala is more latif. He's al-taf. He's more latif on us than we are on ourselves. He has more rahmah on us than we have on ourselves. Allah is ra'uf. Allah is rahim. And what is the need that Allah has? He has no need that if His servants worship Him and they do good, He has no need to make things difficult upon them. Allah Ta'ala is, as He said in the ayah of the Quran, Allah is latif concerning His ibad, or His servants. Ikhwan, the religion, all of the religion, is easy. From alif to ya. From the beginning to the end, this deen, all of it is easy. But we are the ones who make it difficult upon ourselves. And that's why the other part of the hadith that we're talking about is that what? And no one makes the religion difficult upon himself except that the religion overpowers him. So those people who make things difficult upon themselves, they make the things difficult upon themselves. And the opposite. The people who want ease upon themselves, they can make the ease upon themselves. And that's why the Prophet said in yet another authentic hadith to illustrate this point, verily those people who make things difficult upon themselves, they have been destroyed. The mutanatti'un. Verily they have been destroyed. Verily they have been destroyed. And he said it three times.
فكما أن التفريط في الدين مذموم، فإن الغلو في الدين مذموم، ولن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه. هذا الصنف موجود وسيبقى إلى أن يخرج الدجال. الغلاة في الدين يعقدون كل شيء ويصعبون كل شيء، وكما قلنا من علامات الحق يسره ومن علامات الباطل عسره. فشيخ هؤلاء وإمام هؤلاء، إمام المتنطعين، ذلك الرجل الذي جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اعدل يا محمد. وذاك الذي قال: تلك قسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله تعالى. أحدهما اتهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في نيته وقصده، والآخر اتهمه في عمله. الأول اتهمه في قصده، والثاني اتهمه في عمله أنه ظلم ولم يعدل، والأول أنه قسم قسمة ما أراد بها وجه الله. هذا الصنف موجود، والحديث ينبئك عن صفات هؤلاء. جاء رجل ناتئ الجبين، أزج الحاجبين، أقطب، غائر العينين، كف اللحية، منظره نفسه يدل على الصعوبة وعلى العسف والتكلف. هلك المتنطعون. وعمر رضي الله عنه يقول: نهينا عن التكلف، لا تكلف في دينك. وهكذا هذه الفئة، فئة المتنطعين، وعلى رأسهم الخوارج، يصعبون كل شيء ويعثرون كل شيء. بينما هناك طائفة تسمى بالمرجئة، يسهلون كل شيء ويفرطون في كل شيء.
الحق وسط.
المرجئة يقولون: العبرة بالقلب فقط، ما دام القلب عامرا فلا إشكال. أنا لا أصلي لكني هنا عامر أبيض، هذا إرجاء. وكذلك من الإرجاء أيضا أنك تعتبر الشخص مهما أتى بالضلالات والأباطيل فهو إمام من أئمة الدين، هذا إرجاء، بل هذا إرجاء غالي. شخص مهما أتى، مهما قال، مهما فعل، هو عندك إمام في الدين، لا تنقص إمامته ولا تتأثر، لا هذا ولا ذاك، لا غلو ولا تقصير، لا إفراط ولا تفريط. والحق وسط بين الغالي والجافي، والذي يشدد هو الذي يغلب. الدين أقوى منه، الدين دين الله، والله هو القوي. فمن شدد شدد على نفسه، انقطع في النهاية. هذا المشدد لا يدوم، تجده يشدد على الناس، ما تمر الأيام إلا وهو تارك للصلاة، ما تمر الأيام إلا وقد رجع إلى الكفر. هلك المتنطعون.
The Sheikh Ikhwani went on to say, going overboard or not doing enough, these things are disliked. And similarly, al-ghulu, or going overboard, is not disliked. Not doing enough is disliked. And al-ghulu, going beyond the call of duty and going overboard, both of them are disliked. And both of these groups are present. Those people who go overboard and those people who don't do enough. The people who go overboard, they make things difficult. Everything is difficult. And like I said before, from the truth, al-haq, from the sign of the truth, is that things are easy. And from the signs of what is batil, is that things are made difficult and hard. This happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concerning those people who go overboard and make things difficult. These two men are considered to be the imam of the people who go overboard. There was the one man who said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Muhammad, be just in your distribution of the booty." They had a war. So the man said to the Prophet ﷺ, after the Prophet distributed the booty and he gave to who he wanted to give, the man was upset and he came and he said, be just in your distribution. Be not just. That was one man who went overboard. The other man is the man who, when the Prophet ﷺ distributed the booty, the man came and he said, this distribution of yours, it is not what Allah wanted. You didn't want to please Allah with this distribution. The Shaykh went on to say, look at this. The first man is accusing the niyyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, i'dim, you don't intend to be just. The first man is the one who accused the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, be just. Be just. By saying to him, be just, he's implying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his niyyah wasn't to do the right thing. And the second man who said, this distribution of yours is not what Allah wants, it's not to please Allah, he's accusing the action of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. The Shaykh went on to say, look at this. The man came and they described him. He had a protruding forehead. And he had very big, hairy eyebrows. And he was looking mean. And he had a big lihya. He said, look how he looks. He looks like a man who is difficult. And he wants things and makes things difficult. He said his face proved. The way his face was, it proves that he's a man who wants difficulty. So what happened was, Umar radiallahu anhu, upon viewing this man when he was coming and he was doing that, Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, hey, we have been prohibited from this at-takallu. We've been prohibited from going overboard like this, what you're doing. This is not from our religion. The Shaykh went on to say, you see, these people, they are the Khawarij. They are the people, this is their way. They are the ones who make things difficult in everything. And then the opposite of the Khawarij, the people who make things very, very difficult on everything, are the people who take the other extreme, and they are the murji'a. They're the ones who make things easy for everyone. They say, the proof is in my heart. It's what I feel inside of my heart. My heart is white. My heart is pure. So from the irja, from this making things easy, another manifestation of it is, when you have a person who people consider him an imam, a person to be respected and revered, this man, no matter what he says, no matter what he does, no matter what is heard from him, people still say he's a man. He's the imam. He's the imam. He said this is a part of a manifestation of an irja. Sheikh said, but what is best is the middle course. Not going overboard and not having the taqfir. Not going overboard and not being incomplete. Don't have the ifrat and don't have the ifrit. Don't go overboard in any way. Why? Because the truth is in the middle. The truth is between the ghali, the one who's going overboard, and the one who is jazz. He's too easy. The truth is between the two of them. So therefore, ikhwan, the person who makes things difficult, he only makes things difficult upon himself. And the one who makes difficult on the people, what you'll see is what we've experienced. The one who comes and he makes things difficult on the people. You see him? He's a person who makes things difficult on the people. After the passing of some days, you'll see that person becoming of the people who leave off the salah. You'll see that person becoming ultimately of the people who even sometimes leave the religion and they go into kufr.
فسددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا واستعينوا بالغدوة والرفع.
ما هو الحل للخروج من الغلو؟
فسددوا، حاول أن تقترب من الحق
قدر استطاعتك.
حاول أن تكون من أهل الحق قدر استطاعتك. فسددوا، التسديد في الأصل يقال لمن أراد أن يرمي ويصيب الهدف، سدد أي حاول أن يصيب الهدف.
فسددوا. إذن الإنسان حتى وإن لم يصب الهدف تماما يحاول أن يقترب من السداد، فسددوا وقاربوا، أي حاول أن تكون من أهل الحق، لا تفرط ولا تفرط. ليس علاج الإفراط أن تكون مفرطا، وليس علاج التفريط أن تكون مفرطا، ليس هذا علاج هذا ولا هذا علاج. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة
وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. ما أعظم هذه الآية.
وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا. بعض الناس يتخيل الوسط يعني أنا ما لي دخل بشيء. لا لا،
لتكونوا شهداء على الناس، تأمرون بالمعروف تنهون عن المنكر، مهم جدا.
فبعض الناس إذا رآك تحذر من أفكار منحرفة يقول لك هذا ما ينبغي،
أنت خليك في حالك ما تتكلم بها. لا لا، هذا ولا ذاك، لا تبالغ في الأمور وتقول اعدل يا محمد، تجعل نفسك رقيبا على 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 النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أهل العلم. بعض الناس يتهم أهل العلم، يتهم العلماء،
علماء ورثة الأنبياء، فرأس الخوارج اتهم رأس العلماء صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وأذناب الخوارج الآن يتهمون العلماء بأنهم عملاء،
اتهموا العلماء في نواياهم.
وفي المقابل هناك من يتساهل في كل شيء
ولا يريد لأحد أن يتكلم في شيء،
كما يقول علماء الرياضيات يقولون لكل فعل رد فعل
مساوي له في القوة ومضاد له في الاتجاه.
هذا صحيح، الإفراط يقابله التفريط والتفريط يقابله الإفراط، لكن الحق وسط بين هؤلاء وهؤلاء،
والحق هو ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه، هذا الحق. فسددوا وقاربوا
وأبشروا، تحقق أن وراء الحجاب جنة، أبشر بالجنة المستورة. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، يؤمن بالجنة، يؤمن بالغيب، يؤمن بما وراء هذا الستار. فسددوا، حاول أن تصيب الحق تماما، أن تكون من أهل ما استطعت، وقاربوا. وهذا ينفعنا في مسألة ستأتي
لعلها تطرح في الأسئلة لكني أعجل بها إن شاء الله.
فسددوا وقاربوا، نحن نحاول أن نصوم جميعا في العالم صياما واحدا وأن نفطر إفطارا واحدا. لا شك أنه إذا اجتمع المسلمون
على صيام واحد وإفطار واحد وعيد واحد هذا يكون يعني ما نرجوه،
هذا هو السداد. طيب ما استطعنا هذا السداد؟ كل واحد يصوم وحده ويفطر وحده؟
قاربه.
إذن إذا لم تستطع أن تصيب الهدف تماما اقترب من الهدف،
قارب.
إذن ليس العلاج أن نتحول إلى من أمة إلى أفراد، لا والله، نتحول من أمة إلى أمم،
كل واحد منا يصوم مع الأمة التي يعيش بينها.
أقرب مسجد إليكم الذي ستصلون معه العيد أنتم معه، أصاب أو أخطأ، فلأن تكونوا معه أفضل من أن تتحولوا إلى أفراد. أقرب مركز إليكم صوموا معه وأفطروا معه، أيا كان الرأي الذي رآه،
حتى ولو كان مخطئا،
حتى ولو كان مخطئا. لماذا؟ لأن هذا وإن لم يكن هو السداد لكن هذا أقرب إلى السداد من أن نتحول إلى أفراد.
كل واحد يعمل عيد لحاله، أنا العيد السبت وأنت العيد الأحد وذاك العيد الاثنين وهذا العيد الثلاثاء،
الله المستعان، هذا صائم وهذا مفطر، مشكلة. فسددوا وقاربوا. إذن من لم يستطع السداد لا يترك الحق بالكلية، يقارب من الحق،
يقترب. فاتقوا الله ما استطعت، لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها،
إن أصابوا فلهم أجران وإن أخطأوا فلهم أجر، ثم إن خطأهم عليهم ليس علينا.
فنحن نحرص على جمع الكلمة ما استطعنا إلى ذلك سبيلا.
إن أمكن جمع المسلمين في العالم كله على صيام واحد وإفطار واحد
فبها نعمة، لا يمكن إن أمكن حمل جمع المسلمين في الأمريكا الأمريكتين على صيام واحد وإفطار واحد الحمد لله فبها ونعمة. ما أمكن إن أمكن جمع المسلمين في أمريكا الشمالية كلها على صيام واحد وإفطار واحد الحمد لله. ما أمكن إن أمكن جمع المسلمين في كل ولاية على صيام واحد وإفطار واحد الحمد لله فبها ونعمة. ما أمكن إن أمكن جمع المسلمين في كل مدينة على صيام واحد وإفطار واحد فبها ونعمة. ما أمكن إن أمكن جمع المسلمين في كل حي من الأحياء على صيام واحد وإفطار واحد فبها ونعمة. هذا معنى قاربه فسددوا وقاربوا. لم تستطع أن تسدد قارب. ما هو إما أبيض وإما أسود؟ البعض لا يتخيل إلا وعليكم السلام إما سواد حالك وإما بياض ناصع. لا لا ليس كذلك. فسددوا وقاربوا هذا مثال طبعا وإلا قاربوا تعني الدين كله. فسددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا وأنتم تعملون هذا أبشروا بالجنة. أخلصوا في طلب ما غاب عن أعينكم واستعينوا بالغدوة والروحة وشيء من الدلجة. أحب العمل إلى الله أدومه وإن قرب. ودائما أنا أمثل في هذه المناسبة وهذا نهاية الحديث إن شاء الله قد أطلت عليكم أمثل بعداء المسافات الطويلة الذين يشاركون في المسابقات اللي يسمونها الماراثون
ماراثون
طيب هذا يجري مثلا 5000 متر 10000 متر.
عندما يطلق الحكم شارة البدء
تجده كأنه يمشي ما يجري بسرعة لأنه أمام المسافة طويلة لابد أن يوزع جهده على المسافة. يجري بالراحة لأنه يريد أن يداوم. لكن لو عمل مثل عدائي 100 متر وجرى بسرعة يسقط بعد 200 متر. نعم هذا هو معنى الكلام. واستعينوا بالغدوة والروحة وشيء من الدلجة.
مثله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالمسافة
مسافة طويلة يمشي بعض الوقت في أول النهار ويمشي بعض الوقت في آخر النهار
وقبيل الفجر يمشي بعض الوقت
وبقية الأوقات ينزل يستريح حتى يستطيع أن يداوم وأن يواصل.
وإلا لو قال أنا أريد أن أصل بسرعة
وهذا يوافق تماما المثل الدارج في كل البلاد تقريبا يقول امشي على مهلك تصل بسرعة.
يقولون هكذا يقول كما قالوا يعني ان واحد من الناس قال السائق
اريد ان نصل بسرعة فاذا بالسائق قال له ايش هذا
ما هذا قال يعني فقلت نريد ان نصل بسرعة قال لا
نصل بسرعة امشي امشي على مهلك نصل بسرعة. وزع جهدك على المسافة.
نريد ان نصل بسرعة لكن انت تعمل حادث ما نصل بالمرة ولا بسرعة ولا ببطء.
فالمبالغ في الأمور يهلك نفسه فينقطع.
ولا يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه. فسددوا
وقاربوا وأبشروا كيف نعمل واستعينوا بالغدوة والروحة.
الغدوة
سير أول النهار والروحة سير آخر النهار والدلجة آخر الليل.
وقد استفاد بعض العلماء من هذا أن هذه أفضل الأوقات للسفر
أول النهار أي بعد الفجر بقليل وآخر النهار أي مع غروب الشمس هكذا إلى أن يعني يدخل أول الليل
وآخر الليل قبيل الفجر. يقولون هذه أفضل أوقات السفر.
والمراد من الحديث على كل حال أن المسافر
يوزع جهده
يستريح ويواصل يستريح ويواصل يستريح ويواصل
فيصل سالما آمنا غانما معافى.
فعليكم نعم قال فاستعينوا بالغدوة والروحة
وشيء من الدنيا. ولهذا كما قلنا
أحب العمل إلى الله أدومه وإن قل. مهم يكون دائما
لكن تعمل عمل كثير ثم في الآخر
ينقطع.
بعدين تعمل عمل كثير ينقطع.
تعمل عمل كثير
ينقطع ما تداوم عليه.
فعمل تداوم عليه وإن كان قليلا
أفضل من عمل كثير
لا يمكنك المداومة عليه.
فبارك الله فيكم، عليكم بهذه النصيحة النبوية المباركة. فسددوا، حاول أن تكون من أهل الحق على ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه.